Even words of truth. Amen. Y'all pray for me tonight. It's always hard to follow an act like Brother Lawson. That was a great service we had this morning. Amen. I'd give $1,000 to be able to preach like Pastor Lawson, but I'd have to borrow it from you to give it to him. Amen. I heard a story one time about a young man that was living out in the country. He was living at his parents' house, and it was time for him to move out of his parents' house. He was able to take a big job, and he had to move to the city. But in order to do so, he had to move out of his parents' house out in the country, and he wanted to buy his mama an appreciation gift when he moved out. And his mama really loved animals, specifically birds. His mom would wake up real early in the morning and watch the birds. So he wanted to buy his mom a bird, and he mailed it back. It was an exotic bird, expensive bird, real fancy bird. He had it mailed back to his mama's house out there in the country. And a couple days went by. He figured that the mail had ran. He called his house, called his parents' house and said, "Mama, did you get that bird?" And she said, "Oh, yes, sir. Yes, yes, son. We had that bird. It was delicious. Me and your father really loved that bird. Didn't have a whole lot of meat on it, but we loved it. You ought to send us a bird just like that, but maybe a little bit more meat on it next time." And he said, "Mom, I can't believe that. You weren't supposed to eat that bird. That's not a bird that you eat. That was an expensive bird, an exotic bird. That bird could speak 12 languages, Mama." And his mama said, "Well, son, that bird should have said something when I went to heating up the stove." Amen. Praise God. We're going to be in 1 Peter 5 tonight, please. Title of tonight's message is Settle Down. Settle down. Amen. Now, inevitably, there's going to be three groups of people in here tonight. There's going to be a group that wants me to hurry up and shut up so y'all can get back home and watch the sports game. There's going to be a second group that probably didn't want to be here tonight. You got drug here. Now that you see that I'm up here and I'm not pastor, you're probably not going to listen. But there is going to be a third group tonight that's hungry. There's going to be a group that wants something from God. And that third group's who I'm preaching to tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look here in 1 Peter 5. We'll start in verse number 6. If you got your place, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, man. Look at this middle row right here. Brother Lucas has got the youth in check here. Got some men of God wearing some ties. Somebody say amen. Verse number 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen," note carefully, "settle you." Father God, I need your touch tonight. I need your help, Lord. I thank you for another opportunity to preach the blessed word of God, that King James Bible, Lord. I'm unworthy to be up here, Lord God, but I sure am thankful. I need your power, Lord. Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for every one of these people here, Lord God. You know the need. I pray that you'd help them, Lord God, and I want to be a help to them. Father God, bless them, Lord, and bless this word as it goes forth, and help me to preach the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the title of the message is Settle Down, but this text is too good for me just to bulldoze all the way to verse number 10. So I'm going to start here by looking at verse number 6. The first thing our text tells us is humble yourselves. Now, this is a very hard thing for us to do because by nature, we are prideful people. Amen. It's much easier to be lifted up with pride than it is to humble yourselves. Amen. See, by nature, we want to be in the spotlight. Look at what I'm doing. Look at how good I'm doing. Look at the announcement that I've got to make. Look at the solo that I've got to make, all this and that. And we want the spotlight on us, myself included. I can do that. Amen. But our text tells us that we ought to humble ourselves. Amen. See, pride is what keeps us from being humble. Amen. Your pride will prevent you from being what God wants you to be. Amen. Your pride will put a stop to your spiritual growth. Pride will prohibit you from trusting and obeying God. Your pride will puff you up. See, God hates pride. Amen. God hates pride. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Amen. Got him cast down. Obadiah said, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, who saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle and set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 36:11, "Let not the foot of pride come against me." Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention." See, when we're prideful, that creates a contentious spirit in the church and we strive against one another. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:5, "The proud in heart are an abomination to the Lord." Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall." Amen. Amen.
Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low.
See, we got to fight against that. We ought to humble ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty, is he not?
Amen.
I need a little more help there.
Amen.
See, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. And he left glory and he came down here and he humbled himself. It says in Philippians 2:8, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Amen. See, we ought to humble ourselves. James 4:6 says, God resisteth the proud, wherefore he giveth more grace to the humble. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he that exalteth himself shall be humbled. Amen. See, humbleness attracts people. It appeals to people. It affects people in a positive way. It draws people closer to Jesus Christ when you're humble. It draws people closer to wanting to read that Bible when you're humble. It draws people closer to wanting to come to church when you're humble. Amen. Bible text says we ought to humble ourselves. Another thing is we ought to humiliate ourselves. We ought to be able to humiliate ourselves for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, that's what we don't want to do sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to witness to people because we think it may be embarrassing. I was running the other day, and I was running trying to clear my mind because it's stressful being a preacher. It's stressful being a preacher, ain't it, Pastor? Sometimes you got to clear your mind. And I was going for a run, and I was running on Ebenezer, and it's a really busy road. It's a four lanes of traffic, and I was running down Ebenezer on the sidewalk. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, pray. And I'm sitting here just running. I'm like, what do you mean, pray? He said it again. He said, pray. And I got down in the middle of a field with cars going by me, and I started praying, and I humiliated myself. But see, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't first humble myself.
Amen.
Because my flesh didn't want to do that.
Amen.
Amen. I was witnessing to a guy a couple weeks ago on my lunch break out there by the bus stop down there on Gay Street. And I walked up to him and started witnessing to him. And there was conviction there. The wheels started turning. He had heard the gospel before, but I gave him a clear presentation of it. And he said he wanted to be saved. Amen. And I led him in prayer. There was conviction there. And he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when I looked up, I led him in prayer. I looked up, and as I was praying real loud. There was a whole line of people waiting to get on this bus. And I looked up, and there was a bus driver with the doors of the bus held open the whole time we were praying, just sitting there waiting on us. But see, I had to humiliate myself and be willing to embarrass myself and humble myself. And as a result of that, the Holy Spirit saved that man. Amen. That's what can happen when we humiliate ourselves for Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, I spent many nights alone. I spent many nights thinking I was alone, but I wasn't alone. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was there, but I kept my cares all bottled up to myself. But our text says you ought to cast your cares on him. Why? Because he careth for you. People can let you down, but the Lord Jesus Christ will never let you down, neighbor. See, there's people that'll give you lip service and they'll tell you that they love you and they'll tell you that they're the friend, but there ain't no friend like Jesus, amen? Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, amen? John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, amen? That is the true friend that we have, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep your cares bottled up. There's no doubt some people in here that are bottling some stuff up. Oh, nobody knows what I'm going through. I've got some anxieties. The Lord Jesus Christ knows what you're going through, friend. That's why he came and walked and dwelt among us, tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. The Bible says he's our high priest, and he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. But see, we ought to cast your cares on him. But oftentimes we get discouraged. We get depressed. We get disheartened. We get defeated. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Woe is me. It's just so bad. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, cast your cares upon him. Amen.
Amen.
He said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not I might give you rest, but Jesus Christ will give you rest.
Amen.
Don't bottle those things up. Don't bury those things down. Cast your cares on him. Why? Because he careth for you.
Amen.
Amen. Cast them on him. Do you have problems today that you're dealing with? Worries, stresses, something you're holding on to tonight? Maybe you ought to let them go and cast your cares on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because number one, he cares for you. Number two, he can actually help you with it.
Amen.
You can tell stuff to your best friend and they can pray for you, and that's all well and good, but the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver you from that. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to cast your cares upon him. Look at verse number 8. Amen. Verse number 8, be sober. So I'm gonna park here for a minute, which is the Lord wants me to. Amen.
Amen.
We minimize living sober. We make excuses, we justify it, we make light of being sober. The Bible is clear we ought to be sober. That's about alcohol, that's about weed, that's about pills.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Yeah. Amen.
1 Peter 4:7, be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. See, Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us
that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly. Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God, somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, we're all saved by the grace of God, but that verse says teaching us after that. After you get saved by the grace of God, you're supposed to get some understanding. You're supposed to be learning, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Amen.
Amen.
That's a command. Amen. Our text says we ought to be sober. And I'm going to say this, and I could be wrong, but this is my personal conviction. I think that if you don't feel any conviction about drinking alcohol, I doubt you have any conviction about whether people go to hell or heaven or hell or not. Amen. I doubt you have any conviction about witnessing to people if you are socially drinking and you drink on a regular basis. Amen. And you may say, well, that's mean. I wouldn't have said that. I've got an alcoholic in my family. Well, don't we all? Amen. I just wouldn't have said that. That sounds mean. Amen. Well, maybe that's why God didn't call you to preach. Amen. See, John the Baptist, the reason why he got his head cut off was not because he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. No, no, no. He got his head cut off because he was preaching against sin. He said to Herod, that's wrong, Herod. You're shacking up, Herod. That's unlawful. And that's what got his head cut off, because he was preaching at sin. Ephesians 5:11, let us not have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen. It's wrong. It's still wrong, neighbor. There's no such thing as social drinking. It's called, you got a problem. Everybody look up. It's called, the Bible calls it being a drunkard. Amen. It's quiet. That's true. I hit a stump right there, I think. But the Bible says in Psalm 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. But the Bible says that we are epistles known and read of all men.
Amen.
So do you mean to tell me that a glass of wine at dinner is more important than your Christian testimony when you go out and you're eating at restaurants?
Amen.
Amen. They don't know that you just had one glass of alcohol. Amen.
Amen.
They don't know that. See, the thing of it is that, oh, well, I'm not getting drunk. You know why? It's because you've built a tolerance up for it. Amen. It's wrong, neighbor. We ought not be drinking. We ought to get victory over that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And just because I don't drink and you drink, I'm not saying that I'm better than you. Amen. But I'm saying that we ought not do that. We ought to be epistles lived and read, and our testimony ought to be more important than social drinking. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says that we ought not look like the world and blend in with the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, thus saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I'll receive you.
Amen.
There's no doubt there's some people that got some beer in your fridge and I'm stepping all over your toes tonight. Good. Some of y'all probably got weed out in your truck. You got rolling papers out in your car. Hey, it's wrong, neighbor. Amen. We need to be sober. Oh, yes. That's right. That's good preaching, Brother Sam. Preach on. See, the next verse tells us, look at verse number 8 again. See, we've already covered be sober. I felt like I hit a stump there, but I'll tell you something on a lot of it. I hit a stump one time when I was mowing my parents' yard when I was 8. I hit that stump when they told Sam, come mow the lawn. I hit the stump and I just ran right over it. Yeah, I don't know if it broke the lawnmower again, but they never asked me to mow the lawn again. Sometimes when you hit a stump, you just got to keep on plowing, Brother Lucas. Verse 8, be vigilant. You can't stay walking with the Lord unless you're vigilant. See, I used to be sleepwalking as a Christian. I know what that's like, young people. I used to just drift through life being lukewarm as a Sunday Christian. But the Bible tells us be vigilant. You ought to be awake. The word vigilant means to be awake. It means to be alert. It means to be awake. We got to be vigilant. See, James 4:7 tells us that therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look there at verse number 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You can never be vigilant unless you're resisting. You got to resist the devil. You got to put up a fight against the devil. There's got to be some resistance. See, we ought to resist peer pressure, young people. We ought to resist peer pressure. We ought to refuse the things of this world. We ought to be able to restrain ourselves.
Amen.
We ought to be able to repel the wrong people, the wrong crowd.
Amen.
Young people, there's some stuff that you guys are going to be going through, and it may seem small, something as small as the music you listen to, that rap music. Let me tell you, that rap music's out of the pit of hell. I don't know who's popular. I don't know if it's Kendrick Lamar. I don't know if it's Drake or whoever it is. Those people are devil worshipers, and they ain't no more saved than a jaybird, and you ought not be listening to them. Amen.
Amen.
That rap music is filth, and it's something so small, but the devil uses that, and he plants these things in your brain, and it affects the way that you treat people. It affects your relationship with your parents. It affects how you view that Bible. It affects whether you come to church or not. It's something just as small as the music you listen to. We ought to be vigilant.
Amen.
See, we're living in a time and age of hookup culture. You got people that are, they're living with one another and they're not married and they're wrong and it's wrong. And hooking up and fornication is wrong.
Amen.
And what I meant to say was hooking up and fornication is wrong.
Amen.
And I think what I'm trying to say is fornication is wrong.
Amen.
Fornication is sinning against your own body. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes, that's good. See, the thing of it is something so small like that, that's how a fire starts, with a small spark. But then the flames get out of control. What started as just one little party or one little rap song can turn into your testimony being completely ruined. See, I wish that I had somebody that would preach at me the way that I'm preaching right now. And I'm not some big, great preacher, but I'm just saying, I wish people spoke truth to me back when I was y'all's age, because it matters. I've been in y'all's shoes before. But the most fatal house fires occur between midnight and 5 a.m. That's when people are asleep. See, some of us are asleep at the wheel. We're just drifting through life. We got to be sober. We got to be vigilant. See, if you're not vigilant, your spiritual house can be burned down. Y'all's testimony can be ruined. One little house party turns into your whole life being ruined sometimes. Your testimony can get ruined. Amen. Are you awake tonight spiritually? Are you asleep in your spiritual life? Amen. We got to be sober. We got to be vigilant. Everybody still with me? Those didn't have a blessed fire thing to do with my message, but I couldn't not say those. Amen. Look at verse number 10. We're going to get to the message here. I got 4 points for you tonight. Amen. Oh, yes. See, I've got 4 points. Look at verse number 10. My first point is suffer. My second point is establish. Third point is strengthen. And the fourth point is settle. The title of the message tonight is settle down. But see, what we want is we want to skip all the way to point number 4. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to have to be established and grounded. We don't want to have to be strengthened. We just want to be settled. We just want to settle down and be settled in the Lord. But we don't want to go through that progression that it shows us there in verse number 10.
Amen.
First, you got to suffer, amen?
Amen?
The first step before you can get settled is you'll have to endure suffering. See, if you can live however you want, there's no suffering, there's no persecution, then you're not living for Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
You can disobey your parents and you don't feel any conviction about that. You can run with unsaved people. You can party. You can watch things you ought to be watching. You can listen to things you ought to be listening, and you don't feel any conviction. You're not living for Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Bible says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Suffering is part of being a Christian.
Amen.
1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory may be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the present sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, beloved, we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's a day where you're going to get a glorified body, amen? There's a future glory where all this suffering down here on this earth is going to be worth it. Amen. You just got to keep on enduring. Amen. Suffering is a part of being a Christian.
Amen.
See, there's a future glory. See, the Bible says in Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Brother Tony, I bet you had to endure a lot of suffering when you were a soldier, did you not? But it was worth it, wasn't it? For that glory that was revealed with your troops, amen? That's how it is when you're being a Christian. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we shall suffer with him, we shall also reign with him, amen? See, it's better to suffer as a Christian for the cause of Christ than to compromise and take the easy route as the way of the world, amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 11:25, they were talking about Moses, that he rather choosing to endure affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, sin's the easy route, friend.
Amen.
But the Bible says in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
See, you young people are at a crossroads where you guys are going to have some choices to make.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pick a side.
Right.
You going to go with the ways of the world? Or are you willing to go through the trials and the suffering that comes of being a Christian? But I can tell you it's worth it. Amen. Joshua 24:15 says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, well, choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. When Moses came down off the mountain, when Aaron and all them were rebelling and doing what they were doing, he said in Numbers 32:26, he said that who is on the Lord's side? And he drew a line and they had to pick in the camp who was going to be on the Lord's side. That's the crossroads that some of us are at tonight. Amen. What side are you going to choose? Amen, brother. You can't have your foot in both camps. Amen. Right. You got to pick a side. Right. See, not only is it better to suffer for the cause of Christ, but suffering refines us. It molds us into what God wants us to be. See, when gold goes through the fire, it comes out better. Amen. Job went through a lot of suffering. In Job 23:10, he say, "For the he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. Pressure produces diamonds. Diamonds get put under an intense amount of pressure, and then they come out, and they're perfect, and they're spotless, and they're shiny. See, we're going to have to go through some fires in life. We're going to have to go through some pressures in life, amen. But that suffering is what refines us, amen. Suffering is what molds you into what God wants you to be, amen. Suffering refines us, it repairs us, it restores, it reprograms us, it reduces us. Suffering reduces us to nothing, amen, to show us how much we truly need God. And that's right there is when you can grow. That happened to me in my own personal life. I thought I had it all figured out. And then all of a sudden, I just hit rock bottom and I went through some suffering and God refined me through that process and made me a new creature. Amen. Amen. Suffering not only refines us, but suffering produces patience. Amen. Amen. Patience is the only way that you can make it through suffering. Yeah. Romans 12:12 tells us, be patient in tribulation. Some of y'all are going to have to go through some storms in life. They were just singing about a storm. Amen. There's going to be some storms. No doubt that some people are facing some storms right this moment. But David said over there in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he hath also brought me up out of a horrible pit. Praise God. Brought me out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. How about that? So you got to be patient. You got to be poised. You got to persevere. We got to have purpose. Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Amen. We got to have purpose. Amen. So you can't settle down until you face some suffering. Look back at verse number 10 for me, please. See, you're going to have to suffer first, but look at the next part that happens there. But after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you. See, after the second point is God wants to establish you, friend. After you've suffered a while, God can then establish you. You know why? Because you've been through some stuff. Amen. Brother Barry was talking about it on Wednesday. When you go through suffering, you have a ministry in and of itself because you've been through some stuff and you can then mentor and minister to other people. If you have this Mr. Perfect, Mr. Tim Tebow, cookie cutter, this, that, and so on and so forth, you can't really minister to other people. But when you get out there and you go through some suffering, God can use that for His glory to minister to other people. Amen. See, God's got to establish you before He can settle you. Amen. There's an importance of being established in the Bible. Psalm 119:38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Amen. God's got to be able to establish you in proper doctrine. You got to be able to stand on your own two feet. Amen. You're going to have a solid foundation in order to be established. Amen. And the solid foundation that we've got here, friend, is this King James Bible. Amen. Amen. It's solid. It's sturdy. It's a sure foundation. If your foundation's on anything other than the King James Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to last. It's not going to stand. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Your foundation cannot be riding somebody else's coattails. Your foundation cannot be on Pastor Lawson's coattails. It really can't. It can't be on your church membership. It can't be on what preachers you know, where you used to preach, what you've done, what you used to do, who you used to be. What are you doing right now? How's your foundation right now? Your foundation sturdy tonight, or is there a crack in it? God wants to establish you, but you can't be established unless you have a solid foundation. Amen. See, until you can stand on your own, you won't be standing for long. Galatians 6:4, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The Bible says in Revelation 3:1, I know thy works and that thou hast a name and thou art dead. Oh my. See, some of us used to be established, but we aren't now. You did run well, amen? Psalm 11:3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? 1 Corinthians 3:11, other foundation can no man lay than that which is Jesus Christ. How's your foundation tonight, Christian? Are you established?
Another thing is before you can get established, you got to be surrendered. We've got a lot of youth in here. Youth, if you got saved within the last 4 or 5 years, would you just slip your hand up for me? Amen. Praise God. Y'all got saved by the grace of God. You got your name written down in the book of life. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. You guys can never lose that. You're on your way to heaven whether you like it or not. Amen. But listen to me. You're going to have to surrender. Y'all are at a crossroads right now where you're going to have to surrender. Y'all are going to have to surrender to what Jesus Christ wants you guys to do. God's not going to be able to establish you until you guys can surrender. You're not going to be able to surrender if you're fighting against God. There's some things that y'all are going to have to lay aside. Maybe some things, some people, some different places that you guys are going. There's some things that y'all got to lay aside. 2 Samuel 5:10 says, "And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him." But David didn't grow until he first went on and left some things behind. Amen. Y'all are never going to be able to grow and surrender and be the individual that Jesus Christ wants you to be until you can first surrender to Him. Amen? See, it's like a Band-Aid. Sometimes you just got to rip that Band-Aid off. See, if you try to pull that Band-Aid, it starts to hurt, right? It starts to pull a little bit of hair, a little bit by bit, but you just got to rip that thing off. See, when I was y'all's age, I used to try to keep some things in my back pocket, right? Oh, Lord, I'll surrender this, but I'm not going to surrender that. Well, maybe we'll do it gradual. Well, I'm not ready for that. No. Just rip that Band-Aid off and just surrender. Why don't y'all make tonight the night that you surrender? Amen? There could be things that you guys are holding on to. Well, maybe when I'm older, I'll do this. Or maybe when I've grown a little bit, then I'll give this up. Or let me just start with this. No, you ought to just rip the Band-Aid off and just surrender to everything that you've got and give your full all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, we ought to let Jesus drive your car. Jesus, take the wheel. Amen. You got to let Him drive your car, but we can't do that when we're letting Jesus drive for a mile and then we jerk the wheel back and say, "All right, Jesus, I got it from here. You getting shotgun. I've got it." That's what we like to do. You got to let Jesus drive. See, some of us are flirting with sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:27, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" We can't flirt with sin. We can't give a foothold to the devil. Amen. See, what we like to do is we want to strong arm God. It's a power struggle. We try to second guess God. "God, are you sure that that's what you want me to do?" No, God's wanting you to surrender. But in order to be settled and to get to that final step, we've got to surrender and let God establish us. Amen. Amen. Moving on here. The next thing we can see in verse number 10, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you. See, after you've suffered, God will establish you. And then He wants to strengthen you. Amen. See, God wants to strengthen you in the Word. But it's the same way when you're working out. You don't all of a sudden get super strong overnight. It's a process. You've got to put in reps. You've got to put in reps with your Bible. You've got to put in reps. You've got to make sure that you're consistently praying, seeking the face of God. It's not going to happen overnight if you want to get that strength from the Lord. Amen. See, God desires to strengthen you, but you've got to have repetitions. That's why it says study to show thyself approved unto God. It doesn't say study one time. It says continually study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman doesn't just work one day. He continually works. Amen. You got to work at it. See, strength doesn't come overnight. Strength is something that you got to work at. It takes time. It takes effort. But the Word of God will strengthen you. Psalm 119, 133, "Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me." See, strength, it'll strengthen your preaching. Amen. The Word of God will strengthen your preaching. Titus 1:3, "But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the command of God our Savior." Amen. It says in 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and then exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Amen. Amen. See, the Word of God can not only strengthen you, but it can heal you. It says in Psalm 107:20, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Amen. The Word of God can heal you. If you just pick up the Word of God when you're tempted to sin, that'll keep you from sinning. I can promise you that. But oftentimes, our flesh takes over, and we don't want to run to the Bible until after we've already sinned or we've slipped up. Amen? Amen. But the Word of God will strengthen you. Yeah. Another thing that keeps us from obtaining the strength of God is we don't fear God. God will not strengthen you unless you fear Him. Let me tell you something. You made it to church tonight because God allowed you to. It's not because your parents drove you good or that your husband's a good driver. It couldn't be that, amen? But the reason that you made it to church is because God Almighty allowed you to by His grace. He could have sent a car wreck and you could have been wiped out. He could have sent a lightning bolt. God Almighty is the one that's in control, amen? But we don't fear God nowadays. See, the fear of God is missing in most churches in Christianity.
Romans 3:18, for there is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 1:28, then shall they call upon me. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Amen. See, what we've done in today's Christianity is we've put Jesus Christ in the sweetie pie, lovey-dovey, ooey-gooey box.
That's right.
And nobody fears God.
But
the Lord Jesus Christ said about himself, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Amen. We ought to fear God. Amen. You never get the strength of God until you first fear God and put that proper fear in its place. Amen.
Amen.
See, we forget to fear God, but the Bible says in Psalm 9:17, all that forget God, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 44:20, if we would have forgotten the name of our God and stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to fear the Lord. Do you fear God tonight? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter, to fear God and keep his commandments. Amen? This is the whole duty of man.
Right.
So we ought to fear God. Amen?
Amen?
Moving on here, last point here is settle. Look at verse number 10. After you've suffered, he'll strengthen you. Then he'll establish you. And then after that, then God can settle you. God can settle you in the Word. I wish I knew just how important when I was younger that the Word of God really was. I'm trying to tell you today, young people, that even in the midst of destruction, devastation, despair, storms, the Bible can calm that storm. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 107, 29, he maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Amen?
Right.
See, but instead of being settled in the Word, we tend to struggle. It's time to get settled. It's time for us to set time for prayer, set time for Bible reading. But oftentimes we struggle to do that, but we're busy with everything else.
Amen.
And let me talk to you ladies for just a second. You ladies are better at reading. I saw some of y'all perk up. Oh my. God help me. Y'all ladies are good at reading. Y'all can read real fast. Amen. But some of y'all are reading them romance novels and you're not reading your Bible. Y'all reading that Colleen Hoover or whatever it is, and y'all, we ought to be reading our Bibles, but you guys can read so much faster than men. I swear it's true. I sit and I listen to girls talk in my office talking about, I read 120 books this year, and I'm sitting here thinking, my aching back, how many books of the Bible did you read? You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, and then we wonder why we're so anxious. I feel like I may be hitting another stump. Yeah, man. Hallelujah. Preach on. But sometimes we struggle to listen to preaching. Yeah, I've seen some yawns in here tonight. You know, some of us haven't shouted amen and since Moby Dick was a minnow. Amen. But let me just tell you something about that. Yeah, that's right. But I'm just saying, some of us have got so much pressure and so much stress built up that maybe it ought to do you good just to come in here and just let loose. You know what I'm saying? And when that preacher gets to preaching that word of God, you ought to get on there and say, that's right, preach on, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. But it'll do you some good. It'll let some stress out when you start listening to preaching. You get a hunger for preaching. See, we can shout when it comes to the sports games. We all can do that, especially the Vols, right? But sometimes we sit in here and we just mildew. We just sit there and it doesn't mean anything to us. We struggle to listen to preaching. We struggle to pray for others.
True,
we can pour out our hearts to God for ourselves. But then we offer up some little empty prayer that hits the ceiling fan and comes back down when it comes to somebody else. Now, not all of us. I appreciate the people that have been praying for me. People have been reaching out to me, and I appreciate that. And that's what we need. We need. And we had how many come to prayer meeting early?
47.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Last time was 12.
Amen. Hallelujah. But see, oftentimes we struggle. We start slipping.
Yep.
Hebrews 2:1, wherefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest that at any time we should let them slip. Are you slipping tonight? Slipping just a little bit?
Come on.
Slipping in your prayer life? Slipping in your Bible time? See, we have a tendency to slip. We have a tendency to leave the straight path that God's got for us, and we tend to go on the slippery path. Amen? God's got a straight, safe way that he wants for us, and we tend to get off on the slippery path. We trade the straight way for the slippery way. Are you settled on the right path, or are you heading down a slippery path tonight? Amen. Psalm 73, verse number 2, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Yeah. Psalm 73:18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Are you walking with the Lord tonight, or are you beginning to slip a little bit? We can all have a tendency. I have a tendency to do that. I'm weak. If God doesn't grab me by the hand at 7 a.m. when I roll out of bed, I might slip before I make it down the steps. It's probably because my dog will trip me, but God help him. But are you walking in the will of the Lord? Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. When's the last time, Christian, you pondered the path of your feet? Will this make me slip if I continue going down this path that I'm on? If I continue to start listening to this music, if I continue to hang out to this friend, could I possibly slip in the future if I continue this? These are the things that we ought to be thinking about. Amen. What path are you on? Amen. See, we have a tendency to be slipping. Everybody turn with me real quick to 2 Kings 6. I'll give you time to get there, but it's on this, it's relevant here. 2 Kings chapter 6, we have a tendency to slip. See, God puts us on that straight path in a straight place. But we oftentimes want to leave that way. We want to wander. We're prone to wander. I'm prone to wander. I am. But see, we want to leave that straight way. We want to slip back to a life of sin. We want to slip back to what we used to do. 2 Kings 6. 2 Kings 6, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Yeah. Verse 2, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. See, the sons of prophets were running well. They were with a good man of God they were following. But they wanted to get back out in the world. See, Jordan in that verse is a type picture of the world. See, they were on that straight path, but they wanted to leave the straight way and they wanted to go back to the slippery way. See, that's a picture of what your Christian life can be if you don't grab the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Amen. We got to be walking in fellowship with the Lord. Amen. See, they didn't want to stay with Elisha. They wanted to go back to their old pace. They wanted to go back to their old ways. Amen. But God puts us on a straight path. And if you're not established, if you're not strengthened and settled on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have a tendency to slip back to that old place. I can have a tendency to slip back to that old place. Yep, is the path that you're on completely settled in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Amen. We're all prone to slip and to wander if you're being honest. Absolutely. Like I said, with your prayer life, your Bible reading, your attitude, is your attitude slipping? Are you dragging into church? Did you not even want to come tonight? See, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He was glad before he ever even got in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. He wasn't glad when he found out Pastor was the one preaching. He wasn't glad when he found out we were singing number 6 in the All-American. He wasn't glad when he found out that his favorite ladies were singing a special. He wasn't glad. He was already glad. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Is your attitude slipping tonight? How's your attitude tonight? How's your attitude towards fellow church members? How's your attitude toward the brethren? It's quiet. It's good when it's quiet, though. I'm starting to learn that. It used to freak me out, but now it's good. Y'all pray for me. I'm still learning. Amen. But see, I'm coming to a close here. Y'all stick with me. But when you slip and you begin to slip, you need to grab onto something. And you need to grab on something sturdy. If you grab onto something weak, if you grab onto the flesh to try to hold you up, you're going to slip and fall. You need to grab onto something. Amen. David said in Psalm 17:5, hold up my goings in thy path that my footsteps slip not. We ought to pray that every single day. God, hold up my goings in thy path that my footsteps slip not. Because you can end up slipped up. You can end up a slipped up mess by the time afternoon rolls around. You can lash out against your spouse. You can lash out against your significant other, your coworker. You can say the wrong thing. You can listen to the wrong thing. You can go to the wrong places, but God, hold up my goings in thy paths that my footsteps slip not. Amen. Psalm 17, Psalm 119, 117, hold thou me up, then shall I be safe. Yeah. When you start slipping, you got to grab onto something that can hold you up, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
See, you got to have something to hold on to. Grab the hand of Jesus. Go pick up your Bible when you don't know what to do. You're facing a decision. You've got a temptation that's coming your way. Go grab that Bible. Don't sit there and just let the wheels turn in your brain. Well, I could do this, and well, God will just forgive me. No, you're already cooked when you start doing that. You ought to grab something that can hold you up. Amen. See, Jesus will settle you. He'll keep you from slipping. It said over there in the book of Jude, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. You got to grab onto the hand of Jesus. Amen. And Jesus will keep you on the right path. Amen. He'll keep you from slipping. See, God's got to hold me by the hand every day.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't that right, Brother Sean?
Me too.
Or I end up slipping by lunchtime.
Yes, sir,
I talk to so many different clients at work. I got to just say, God, help me. I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and then a call comes through, and I'm thinking, how could they? I'm in the middle of reading my Bible. you mean I've got to work? God help us. But see, Jesus will keep you settled on the right path. God, keep us from slipping. See, we ought to be settled. It's time to settle down, friend. How's your foundation? We ought to get settled in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to settle down. I'm coming to a close. But you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to get established. You're going to have to get stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ, stronger in the Bible, stronger in the relationships amongst the brethren in the church. But then, at that time, then you can get settled. Amen. But it's time for us to get settled. Here's what's about to happen. I'm about to close here. And as soon as we dismiss and pray and leave here, any conviction that you felt, by the time you make it to your car, Satan's going to try to steal that from you. If God spoke to your heart, you ought to come down here and get settled tonight, guys. You young people, if you haven't surrendered something to the Lord, if there's something that you've got in the back of your mind while I'm preaching right now, some friend that you ought not be hanging with, some guy you ought not be talking to, some music you should probably delete, we ought to surrender that tonight, friend.
Yes, amen.
But don't let Satan steal that conviction from you. Don't. You can do that to me. I deserve that. But don't do that to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He paid it all at the cross of Calvary, bled and died, rose again, saved you from hell,
amen.
And desires to have a relationship with you. He desires to bring you through the temptations that you face. Amen? But I pray that you would respond if God spoke to your heart. Don't let that conviction go away. Jesus is trying to refine you, amen, so that you can get established. Don't do that to Jesus. If you could say, I need to be a more vigilant Christian. I'm not established as I should be. My foundation could be stronger, amen? Mine could. I'm not as strong in the Lord as I could be. And I don't want to slip. God, I'm not slipping right now, but God, I don't want to slip. Hold me up, Lord. And I'm not as settled as I should be. If that's you tonight and God's speaking to your heart, why don't you come down here to the altar? Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for my church. Thank you for everybody that heard this, Lord. I pray that you'd help them, that you'd bless them, Lord. You'd convict who needs to be convicted. You'd exhort who needs to be exhorted, Lord God. I thank you. I pray that the Holy Ghost would move in this house tonight, Lord God, and that you do something. And I just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and all that you will do, Lord God. And I pray that we could settle down, Lord God, and we could be established, strengthened, settled, Lord God. We love you, Lord, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.